I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, I see we have a quorum. That's good. So, are there any additions to the agenda? Seeing no additions, I move that we approve the agenda.
I second that.
Aye. All in favor? Aye. Consent agenda. Have you read the consent agenda?
I have.
I move that we approve the consent agenda.
I'll second that.
Aye. All in favor? Aye. Public comments. That'd be tough. So we'll start right off with, ooh, this will be a record short meeting. Start right off with the second reading of the AWAS update.
Jim?
So I just wanted to bring you up to date, the contractor, which I'm really impressed with this contractor out of Olympia. Has a power trench dug, there's conduit in the ground, we've got ports at either end. He's decided instead of using his firm bid that he's doing an hourly rate. And I was a little leery of that, but after I did a accounting of it, we're probably going to end up saving about $4,000. So he's looking out for our best interest. Larry Oz has been riding herd on him, thinks he's doing an excellent job out there. So the thing we're waiting for now is a tower. It was shipped on Friday, confirmed. It should be here today, tomorrow. So as soon as it arrives, we'll be able to actually, the foundation's already placed. All we have to do is put the tower in, fill it with concrete. We have all the cable runs back. So he figures another 2 days of work out there and we'll have a tower on. Bill Putney called this morning, said he just contacted the FCC. They are 6 weeks out to getting our license. So with any luck,
which will match the delivery of the instrument.
Yeah, we could be operational by December 1, and probably about $45,000 under budget.
The actual instruments, that was getting installed by the company that makes them. You know, they'll come out and just mount everything on the tower and hook it up the electric power and test it. And your smartphone, your bill, that one, the weather, Jefferson County International.
That's really it. If there are any questions, we had a great meeting with Mary Vargas from the FAA. She went out and did all of our measurements for us, said the airport looked fabulous. She did say it was one of the best airports she manages as far as maintenance. Larry Ozzie had done a great job, and Laura, the grass was mowed. Every reflector was perfectly lined up, so
it was her territory.
She has basically this south, so from here down south. So she's got Port Angeles, she's got here, she's got
Shelton,
Chehalis. I think she's got 7 or 8 airports that she does. All small stuff. You know, she doesn't do the SeaTacs. But she is an engineer, and her job is to make sure all the clearances, obstructions are in place, the lights are all proper.
Plus, she wanted to inspect, you know, the resurfacing that we did last fall, since they paid for most of it.
That is going to be a question, because she brought it up again. We are scheduled for a complete runway redo in 2018. Well, that's only 4 years away, 3.5 years away. It's a $2 million project, and our match is going to be $200,000. So I tried to convince her that we really didn't need a new runway. It doesn't meet FAA specs. It's a problem. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, I think we know how that's going to go. So the money that we got to take up the 5% and the AWAS came from
WASDOT Aviation, the state aviation.
So would they put $100,000 in on the
In the old days they would have, but they're so short on money now. There's over, I forget the numbers, it's over 100 pull it up here or not.
I really do feel in the next couple of years
they don't have that much money.
We need to start assessing user fees, some of this stuff. I mean, the pilots literally get away scot-free. And
so they're really busy this weekend too.
There's
a lot of planes there.
I mean, you heard they complain about 4 cents a foot, but when you're talking about this magnitude of infrastructure, 4 cents a foot for a hangar pad does not pay for it. So at some point, we need to be real with what we generate versus what we have to spend to maintain that infrastructure.
So I had somebody, I can't remember who it was, say, well, they charge you to use the boat ramp, why don't they charge you to land and take off? Do the airports charge those fees?
Only commercial.
We can't recreation.
It's, because it's a federal law. It's a federal law that because so many federal dollars have gone into the infrastructure, it has to be kind of like the same thing with the Corps doing the breakwater. You know, we got to charge the same for everybody, but in the case of airports, it's free for recreation, for general aviation. Now, the commercial guys, there's a boat UPS that comes and goes almost every day, supposed to be giving us a little bit of money. So.
Now, when you say supposed to be, does that mean they're not?
They're not. It's so hard to monitor that.
Yeah, we don't have anybody out there to see.
So it's
debate.
Not our system.
And they're not honorable enough to.
Well, it's a contractor, and I talked to DJ last week and said, we're going to start cracking down on this guy. We need logs every day.
Yeah, we won't have somebody there of our own staff to keep track of it. You've got to rely on people to be honest with you.
And that goes for all the charter companies, too. They're
supposed to. If somebody has a charter flight come in and pick them up here to take them on to SeaTac, we're supposed to get a. We're not talking about the money here.
Yeah. We're talking $300 or $400 in landing fees. We're not talking lots of money.
Not each time a year.
Isn't it like 15 cents per
1,000 pounds?
Not much at all.
But anyway, the airport wasn't busy.
And kind of like what they were talking about this morning, trying to figure out ways of examining our expenses to see if we're left someplace. Well, this is kind of like a reverse of that. It's there's some revenue that we're entitled to but aren't capturing, and perhaps we should look at that.
So again, it's kind of like what Brad brought up about doing the commercial appraisal. You want to spend $10,000 to get $5,000 in revenue. How much staff time would it take to get those few hundred dollars more that we're not getting right now?
I don't know. I keep going back to cameras. We talk about cameras like we just had to replace a key lock thing on a garbage can or something. I don't know how much is that anyway?
They're $800 a piece.
$800 a piece.
What, one got damaged?
Two of them. Maybe one got smashed in commercial bases.
Someone took a hammer to it or something?
Something.
We don't know what, but.
They're going to cover it in warranty, but
yeah, now they will.
Next time it won't be warranty.
Yeah. What I'm getting at is that if we had some surveillance, there's no saying that we could identify the guy that smashed the key lock, but at least if you had a camera, you could say, oh, that's a UPS airplane.
And you'd have to watch it.
Yeah, so you got to watch it.
24 hours.
Oh, yeah. Zip by.
Well,
I think it's a good point, though. We need to do a better job out there of monitoring that. And I think a simple letter that says, look,
this reminds people.
You haven't been. We're going to be expecting it. See if that pushes compliance.
And just help honest people to be honest.
Yeah, that's because is the independent contractors. Not, is it coming out of his pocket or is it coming out of UPS general big fund?
Sure, it come out of the contractor's pocket.
Whoever's flying.
Part of the fee that he charges UPS to do that.
Yeah, right. In other words, he's going to pass it on to UPS.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, is that all we have for the AWAS update?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, first reading for discussion of the Coal State Wastewater Management.
None of you are here. This goes back to 2011. It's going to come up again at the end of the month. We're having the next meeting that you sat in on about the five things that the city, the county, the PUD, the port should all be working on. And for Quilcene, which is one of the five items, a subset of that was a Quilcene wastewater management system. And back in 2011, Dave Thompson was our commission rep on the county's Public Infrastructure Fund Board, PIF. And Linda Herzog, and as part of the Quilcene conversations process, wanted to apply to the PIF for two projects. One was for which the PUD kind of took on because their business. To increase the fire flow This is up on 101 in the core area of downtown Quilcene. There's about 90 commercial properties up there that are zoned commercial, but can't be developed because of lack of fire flow. And then the second thing is lack of wastewater treatment facilities.
So when you say 90 commercial properties, that means undeveloped commercial properties? Okay, because the ones that are there are already there, so they...
Yeah, let me start handing out some of this stuff. This is kind of the thing that the Quilcene that Linda put together, and it's the first paragraph talks about the wastewater, and the second one talks about the water system itself. So what that led to was they came to the port and asked, they needed a government sponsor to apply for some of this infrastructure money. And remember, infrastructure money is a special fund where certain distressed counties get a kickback on sales tax. And it's like 0.09 or something like that. Percent comes back to that county to be used for infrastructure to support economic development. And so we don't get a lot because we are a small county, there's not a lot of sales tax, but still it's a few hundred thousand dollars a year that comes back to Jefferson County. And we wrote this letter, they came to the port, and the port commission said, okay, we'll sponsor it. With a letter of interest to get it into the PIF process so they can vote on it. The PIF board is made up of all three county commissioners, one PUD commissioner, one port commissioner, and two city council members. And we went through that process, and they actually awarded $100,000 for this project to do a feasibility study to see what would this wastewater or community septic system, if you will, what it'll look like, how big does it need to be, where there's some possible sites for its location, etc. So that was our part, and that was the end of it. Well, nothing's happened since then.
So what happened to the $100,000?
It's just sitting there at the county. And
why didn't they do their feasibility study?
Because, where's my next letter? I sent this letter to the county commissioners and Philip Morley, the county administrator, a few months later. This was actually a year later, December of 2012. And Carolyn had looked at it. You know, we can only actively do projects that directly support port real estate. We can't do it for somebody else. And so that's what this letter says. And essentially stating that this is something the county has the, you know, this project should be taken on by the county as you have the authority being the general purpose government. They have not done anything to it. And
why didn't they utilize their money for the feasibility study?
That's what, well, that's the question that they should answer.
Oh.
Yeah. And that's what we said in this letter is, this is your project, guys. Yeah, we were just here politically supporting this thing, trying to get something happening in Quilcene. But the county has not done a thing on it. So now Linda is all up in arms. And with this five-item thing coming up at the end of the month, she wants to bring this back up. And what she's proposing, she did talk to me. That's what this email talks about, and it's one of those things where if you're less than very, very blunt, oh, yeah, Crockett's on board with all this. I am a little bit, because I want to make something happen in Quilcene, but she wants to get it moving. She will prepare an RFQ, request for qualifications, and it has to be qualifications. This would be an engineering study, which is an RFQ, not an RFP. And what she's proposing, this is the next thing, is
Jim works weekends?
Is that Jim Vlarnik? Now, she kind of laid this out. I haven't commented back on it yet because I wanted to talk to the commission. And I haven't talked to Morley about it. I haven't talked to Peter Quinn about it. Because I want to want to get to the commission sense, how far we want to go. What Linda would like us to do as a port, and it is legal for us to do this, and recently we talked about doing this for the electric vehicle thing, where we're kind of the pass-through for the money. We manage the RFQ and make sure the feasibility study gets done, and pay, you know, we take that $100,000 and pay the consulting firm, the engineer firm and stuff. And for our staff time, we pull out whatever money to cover our staff time. And, yeah, we can legally do that. I don't know if we want to do that. Certainly when it comes to the actual construction of the project, I don't think we should get involved in that. The issue here is, do we want to get involved with the feasibility study aspect to be the holder of the money, if you will, and see that it gets paid out and that the project at least goes forward?
Well, maybe it says in here somewhere, but whose account is this $100,000 for feasibility study sitting in?
It's that account, in their PIF account. They have a separate account.
Okay. So who's the port commissioner on the PIF board now?
I forget. You guys divvied that up.
Oh, I know it wasn't me. I know it's not me.
It's not you.
Isn't it you?
Is it me?
I don't know.
So, Brad, what are you going to do? It might be Pete. We'll have to look at that. I was thinking about that coming over here. I'm going to look at that.
So. We're not in Distress County anymore, so we're not.
Well, that's right, but the money's here because of before. And that's another whole thing. You probably aren't aware of this. David Timmons is a little bit about it. At the city, we were just recently, unbeknownst to any of us, taken off the distressed county list. And I guess it's tied to our unemployment rate. Fell to a certain point where we're not considered distressed anymore, which means that in future, PIF money.
So should I go apply for unemployment then?
I guess. But that's a future issue.
No.
But this money is sitting at the county, and it's going to come up. I don't need a decision today. I just wanted to kind of give you some of the history on this thing and see if we want to help out the Quilson community in this capacity or not.
We know this kind of goes back to the discussion.
I haven't talked to Pete yet, so yeah. Get his input.
But we started to have a little bit this morning, and that's the port being the EDC for the community. Because we have, as we identified, that EV tourism charging station thing coming up that's suddenly leaderless and needs some assistance, and then this. And these are the kinds of things that would really be well handled by someone in an EDC type function, because this is basically, it's this jobs for Quilsane. And the electric car thing is tourism for Port Townsend, and that's, you know, something that we're all trying to promote, so.
So I guess that even though we can siphon off whatever money there is to cover our staff time, at the end of the day, do we have the staff time?
Right.
You know, as we're going to ramp up here from the management standpoint with getting the permits for the breakwater, getting the project, assuming we get the grant for the boat ramp, you know, that's going to eat up a lot of our time this coming year.
You know, only you can tell us if we have the staff time, but I think that if we don't, then that might just make the question as to whether we should start becoming the ADO and then getting the money from the county and from us and from other people to be able to hire a staff person to do that.
I think I need to ask the question of Philip Morley, you know, is the county going to do this or not? Or are you just going to let Quilsane language?
Oh, yeah.
They certainly can go up on RFQ.
Why have they languished on this?
It's the current county commission just isn't in
it as a priority, or
it's not a priority. They got a lot of other irons in the fire. They've got staff issues, you know, sort of staff time. Now that all may change with a new county commissioner from 3rd District, you know, with the election this fall. So that may cause this, because both of the candidates are aware of this. And I think no matter who's elected, they might cause this to happen. So why don't I approach this with Morley and get his sense of it.
Sounds good.
But we should have a little bit of the history, and you know Linda, she can go away. And the trouble with 90 parcels, they're all fairly small. They were planted back in 1893 or something.
So it takes two or three to make a building site?
Well, it's not just that, it's the septic rules. You build your septic system, but then you also have to have a reserve septic field. Should that system fail, you got another place already designated to build it. And that makes that unbuildable. So when you take those two, that amount of acreage out of your parcel, a lot of these parcels don't have enough room to build a building on now and accommodate setbacks and everything else. So whereas a community septic field, then you don't lose that amount of the land on each parcel. And that's the issue we've seen a lot of, like out in Glen Cove and everything else. Parcel, so that's really about it. More to follow, but I will give them Morley. And
okay, so we don't have any potential need action items, so now we're to staff comments.
Staff, yeah.
Well, it sounds like Carolyn is in the loop on the sewer plan. Tourism and sewers are treated differently under the port.
Yeah.
RCW, so let's stay in the loop and no other comments.
Yeah, let's see where it goes. Amy?
I don't have anything.
You have enough direction this morning?
So we'll continue forward.
No. I'll be gone tomorrow to Tacoma. I've been asked to chair the Washington Boating Alliance meeting tomorrow. The normal chair is out of town. And they'll be discussing a number of things. A lot of it is legislature stuff, you know, getting ready for January with derelict vessels and things of that sort. No discharge zone is still a hot button. And state parks and fish and wildlife are supposed to be there. And DOE to talk about a lot of that stuff. So
well, hopefully they're going to be able to take a realistic approach towards that. You know, I mean,
because the discharge zone.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, I'm putting numbers to it because, I take personal interest in that just because I come from commercial maritime industry. And that's a huge hit.
It is.
For the towboat industry here. I mean, that's a big deal for them because they have, sanitation devices that are, they have MSD 1, 2, and they, it's the level of treatment that this Coast Guard approved to be discharged into the Puget Sound. And if they push this thing through, I mean, it's just not realistic. What it's going to do is it's going to put a huge negative impact on the pleasure boaters, yet the commercial guys are not going to be able to comply.
Well, I brought up the fact that vessels like the Adventurous, you got 40 kids out there for a week on the water.
Yeah.
Composting toilets, they use them.
They do? You gotta hang on to everything and bring it home. It's just, and the problem is, I went to DOE with a number of other members of the Washington Boating Alliance last year on this. And it's another one of those feel good, everybody should be in favor of this. And they had no concept, none of them were boaters. And they had no concept of what the impacts this would have. And they have this impression that on a sunny Saturday, every one of these boats is out on the water.
They're pooping.
Right. going across shellfish beds. And I try to say, your average boater, they might go out on Saturday on a sunny day, but they're out for 2 hours and they come back to the marina.
And they're toilet trained.
Where we have, either pump outs or they didn't need it because we have restrooms. And but they just see that there's X thousand registered boats, and so they're all out there, polluting.
Hopefully they can take a realistic approach to it, and then there's the other side of the coin that Victoria's got a pipe runs right up the Straits of Juba.
I know, yeah.
And
we
so
brought that up too.
And so it's just not realistic at all.
Well, now here since last time we talked about this was that it seemed like it was a done deal the way that it was being run down our throats by the DOE. And so is that still your
company? Well, they slowed down a little bit. There's enough uproar from various boating communities, including the tugboat folks, that they've slowed down. It actually is EPA at the federal level that approves these zones. It's just a recommendation from the Department of Ecology. But in the past, everything that a state has recommended has been approved. And I think this will be a topic. I think we're all signed up for the November Marine and Boatyard. I think it might be a topic there. But anyway, I'll, whatever I get tomorrow, I'll pass on. But it is down in Tacoma, so that's all I have. Other than the RCO scoring thing on Friday morning.
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
Friday morning.
Friday morning.
In my Lottery's office. Okay, so the public comments. You're up.
We're good.
Okay. Thanks for your comment about the vehicle, so.
Yeah.
I'm not about to buy a $40,000 pickup truck for my guys to throw.
I always discouraged buying new stuff for the air crew. It's like, they just beat up. That's what they do.
Yeah, we try to buy something that has brakes and things like that on it, but steering wheels and windows. But beyond that, these are hard road and put away wet horses. So.
Okay, commissioner comments.
Well, since we're on the subject of restrooms and that kind of thing, and we all know how rough shape our restroom is right now. We talked earlier today about, you know, what can we do about it. Another concern I have is, you know, we charge a liveaboard fee, and part of that liveaboard fee is for the, because they're the ones that are using the facilities. Yet these guys have a hard time getting in there, you know, in the morning or the evening, because there's all these homeless people in there camping out or doing whatever. And it's kind of not fair to our liveaboard community to be charging this fee for something they can't use.
Or a guest tent, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, over the weekend.
Yeah,
and,
you know, it just seems like we need to really do something. It's getting pretty bad.
Well, we're, to bring you up to date, you know, we had the mold issue. We finally got the report back just a couple of days ago. So we're moving ahead with that remediation. But especially on the men's side, we got to pretty much do a total renovation. And Amy was pricing out yesterday some portable units, because we're going to have to close down the restroom to remediate that one stall with the mold. But we probably ought to just get something in temporary, put it next door to the restroom, and just close it down for whatever period of time to get the project done. And we're even thinking now, maybe even contracting it out just to get it done quicker. My fear is, as soon as we start pulling down some of the other sheetrock,
yeah,
you know, what we think we could do in 2 weeks is going to turn into 3 months. And so with that, maybe this is, if we're going to do this renovation this winter, and winter is a good time for these sort of projects, if we're not doing other outside work, maybe we ought to look at a new code system. You know, they do lock at night. It's on a punch code. As I said today, every month that we change the code, it immediately gets passed around to everybody. And I've even had some of our own board senators say, well, that person needs to have, you know, it's part of our community, you know. Well, you're ruining your facility, too, by doing that. Maybe we need to go to a card lock system.
Yeah, it's just like physical. Yeah, it's a physical card, because then it wouldn't get, the code wouldn't get passed around.
And that's what we were talking about this morning. I mean, that's what Kingston does, and it, their facility is pretty nice.
They have a physical card you got to put in.
Yeah. You wave it, it just hold it up to it. And
so it looks like a hotel.
And then they have a separate little restroom that the public can use.
Right. Yeah, that'd be odd. Because I was going to think, what about the poor guy that's, you know, just come back from fishing all day and really has to go, but he's just using the boat ramp and doesn't have a coat. So having a little restroom, you know, just like a little one, without showers and stuff, would be perfectly adequate for that.
Well, yeah, we do keep a porta potty in back, and we can still do that. And the other restroom we could leave with, which doesn't have showers, down by the Larry Scott Trail, we could leave that one unlocked during the day, and you know, the current system, you know, Pete Parrish, when he's on at night, he'll find these doors blocked open purposely, and everything else, he'll close them, but come back an hour later, and somebody's propped them open again.
So, play devil's advocate, as commissioners, you'll get beat up.
Yeah. We got beat up just, you got beat up just the other day from some guy.
Taxpayers believe that their taxes, these should be open to the public. And Larry and I have been fighting this battle for 10 years. we believe this should be locked to tenants only too, but you're going to get a lot of heat from the greater community who live off the grid that use this as their restroom.
Babe Thompson's right, would be coming.
Yeah, I mean, so.
But every morning, I usually come in between 7:15, 7:30, and there's a lot of people.
Lined up.
You know, they're all coming in their cars, they're not.
Yeah.
Boat owners, they're not bringing trades.
No, it goes on all day long.
Yeah. And we just had, see, we had to get the police down here. We had a guy who was threatened with his life at the restroom over the week on Sunday. And,
I've been threatened in there myself, actually. So.
We'd love to explore that, but just know that that's going to be a very contentious topic from the outer community.
Well, just to get back to the basis of that contention, is those things weren't put up with any funding that required them to be open to the public.
No. They were built to service four tenants and customers.
The part of keeping that door closed, somehow we got to do something about the ventilation system in there.
Larry has got a plan, he says, once he takes the roof off, he can put a ventilation system.
Yeah, it's another example.
Badly needs it.
Yeah, and Ozzy will go on forever about it. When they, he was here when they built that. You know, it's where the city code doesn't make common sense. You know, they make you build it like it's a residential restroom. Well, when you get something with that much moisture 24 hours a day, it needs to have a huge ventilation system. So that's part of this renovation to, you know, dry it out in there. But staff is all for it. Is this, be prepared for some kickback a little bit. But you know, the fairgrounds, the county does allow public showers out there. So it's not like you're cutting off somebody that's off the grid. There is other alternatives for a shower. I don't know what they charge, but.
What do we charge? Is it like a buck
it's a 3-quarter system?
So does the county fairgrounds have a big old water spigot out there that's always open?
They got a shower building, you know, it's just kind of cinder block. Thing. It's not as nice as ours, but
okay.
But we're willing to explore that.
Okay, my commissioner comment. Did you have any more, Brad? I'm sorry.
That's it.
Okay. I went to a meeting last night at the Maritime Center. It was the ocean acidification thing. It was fascinating. It was one put on by the MRC, which of course supports by sending me to it. And Larry reads all the emails because he used to go to it all the time. And
thank
it was
very much good. Like, well, I don't have to get a Tuesday once a month back.
Anyway, one of the things that I think is that made me feel proud to be associated with the MRC and with the port is that one thing that was brought up that's, as we know, we came to from the environmental conference where they talked a lot about carbon in the atmosphere. Well, one of the very few ways of getting carbon out of the atmosphere is seaweed and mussels, shellfish. They actually suck it out and of course for us, ocean acidification is a big deal because oysters are having a big problem, particularly in krill seed, and that's what's making that land down there so valuable because they can still get oysters to make larvae. But the fact that to make this long story kind of shorter, the fact that the port of Port Townsend has been majorly supporting the eelgrass volunteering no anchor zone by moving the buoys in and out and supplying the boat and pressure washing and all that stuff was brought out by all these high-powered folks from all over the country saying this is a shining example of how you can get this thing to work from local communities working together, and it made me feel proud to be part of that. So I just want to let you know that happened. So the next meeting will be October the 22nd at 9 o'clock, not in the evening. That's normally a late one, but we're going to have it early so that we can go to our meeting.
Before we close the meeting, did we, since the three of us were there last week, are there any takeaways other than that we're all going to die in the dark?
Well, my takeaway was that it's...
The whole media conference was over Walla Walla on global warming.
Yeah. And my takeaway was it's something that's I've been working on for a long time. So I wasn't as disappointed to not hear other things as a lot of you guys were. Unfortunately, sometimes people get a little bit sloppy in the numbers, and that it's unfortunate because it kind of degrades the entire tone of the conference, but I think that the general consensus there was good. Unfortunately, there's not a lot that ports can do about it unless we Never mind. I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. My favorite part, which unfortunately I think you might have missed, and this is my favorite part of any conference we go to, is the reports from the ports that are doing. You know, they have a little 5 minute.
I was standing out back.
Oh, you were? You got here at that?
I had to take care of things and came back, and so I was standing outside.
Those are my favorite parts. I like to hear that the little old teeny thing of Brownsville's got some electric cars going. You know, that's kind of a neat thing. They think enough about to do that. And Larry gave a good presentation about our port. So I enjoyed it. I think you always learn something, even if it's just, even though it was an environmental conference, but we were in Walla Walla looking at all the really cool things they were doing as their ADO for their community and so forth. You don't always learn environmental stuff. You can learn all kinds of other stuff in talking to other commissioners.
I talked to Al when I get back. Now that we're getting into the rainy season, we'll be collecting a lot of data this winter. And, you know, we'll put together a little trifold or one page double-sided on our whole zinc, you know, project here, and hand that out to a future port meeting.
Well, my takeaway from that was I'm looking forward to them upgrading updating their information. I mean, a lot of information they had there was a bit dated, and some of their surveys, and to make some sort of a serious fiduciary type of decision based on what they presented is pretty much impossible. And I'm hoping that technology is going to move along and that they're going to be able to, in the next presentation, have something that's a little bit more concrete for us.
Well, it was, I raised that issue, besides the whole permitting process needs to change. You know, the money is just for small ports like us. We're barely, you know, getting by with duct tape and baling wire. And, you know, you're talking tens and hundreds of millions of dollars in projects here that, you know, we'll never get, you know, unless it's coming from the feds or the state or something else. So
we do have some storm drains and the heavy haul-offs, my understanding, that are lower in elevation than the rest. That's the first one of the first areas we're going to be looking at flooding issues.
Mm-hmm. Except our new building is 11 inches higher than.
One thing, if I could, yesterday we had Ellen and I be with Al, Larry, Ozzy, and Doug all day, an industrial hygienist, and is helping us with our hearing protection program and also confined space entry. So these consultants that work for Ellen and I seem to be pretty valuable to us, offering their services for free. Come and work with us, put together a program. So more will follow, but it was a pretty impressive guy that came in yesterday. Real common sense, you know, that's a stupid rule. How can we satisfy that rule but not be too onerous on the crew? So it's always nice to hear a state person talking like that.
Great. Since we're not going to have an executive session, I'll go ahead then, if there's no other comments, and adjourn this meeting.